ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Jim did a spectacular job shaving my tongue this morning. Thank you. Monday after a sexy liberal weekend. We love you, Boston. Happy Monday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere.
There's drinking that goes on in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wicked.
Wicked. Wicked.
Wow. Tell you what. They are wicked smart and wicked drinkers. And it was Gay Pride weekend. Yikes.
Oh, God.
Yo, wicked drunk.
Miller. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, or Siri, my iPhone Apple assistant, calls him Critical Boy. And I said, that you're
no!
right. He is.
No, Stephanie! No!
Critical Boy.
I said, thank you, Siri. Yes, he is Critical Boy.
Aww. Critical Boy, they
and
all
you'll
said.
Mean Critical Boy. Yes, Siri.
Computer says yes.
Yes.
At least it's not Chris LeBoy.
That was her former one. Or yeah. Voice DD Jim Ward. Okay. Thank you, Boston. Okay, the same thing happened. So we had a surprise celebrity guest on panel.
Uh-huh.
A surprise even to me that I did not know he was going to be there. Alan Grayson once again got a standing ovation for walking and sitting. He just walks into the theater.
Wow.
And the crowd goes wild. He was awesome. So he did panel with us. Carl Frisch was there from Netroots. He came mm-hmm. on down and opened up the show for us. And it was... and. Current was there. They were filming for the documentary on Sexy Liberal. And, you know, we're kind of a little ramshackle operation normally.
Yeah.
I think high-strung Sexy Liberal tour director has filmed before on his, like, you know, just his iPhone or something. There was a jib. There was not just,
right.
like, cameramen. There was, like, a giant, it was a big thing.
And didn't they put swag in every seat?
Yes. Everybody had the Talking Liberally with Stephanie Miller hat.
That's awesome.
Grandpa, did you just sit on your swag? I sure hope so.
I thought it was a pie. Anyway, it was really an incredible show. Thank you,
Boston. Careful of the apple pie on the seat.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Grandpa, are you sitting on the pie?
I sure hope so.
And some of the sexy liberal cause in Boston, mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren for Senate.
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
Rockstar cheers again.
She's so, wicked smack.
Oh, that, as you know, that race, tighter than a cat's ass. And we have got to... And see, people don't care about the stupid controversy.
I have five cats, and I know from cats.
Yeah,
cats.
Right?
That's a production term. That's what we use in the production industry. We don't
Oops.
Use that in real life.
Oops. That was like a Dan Inside Ratherism.
Yeah.
That's a little bit only smuttier.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Okay. This race is hotter than a Times Square Rolex.
Okay. All right.
Tighter than a cat's sphincter.
Yes, thank yes. you. That's what I meant. Well, it is. Okay. Anyway, yeah, because the new polls are showing that the people don't care about this BS, thank God. The whole, and I, by the way, I was saying, I wore my see-through green T-shirt.
Mm.
And I said...
Pashmina?
No, Pashmina. I said it was in honor of my... because I'm a quarter Irish. It was in honor of my... I'm 25% Irish blood and 75% Chardonnay.
There you
All
go.
Right, that's the jokes, folks. Here we go. I don't know how much Cherokee blood Elizabeth Warren has, but that's what's in mind. All right. Yeah, the world's gone wild. For instance, did you guys know, because sports crazy Boston, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys know that L.A. has a hockey team?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
And apparently we're in the Stanley Cup. And the Bruins
wow.
are not.
I went to a Kings game in 1979. Sure.
I went to one in 1972. Hmm.
There you go.
Good to know. No.
There are no ice rinks anywhere in L.A. anymore. But
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, man,
we're all missing the sports gene. We don't know.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the mayor of sports crazy Boston, he
yeah.
doesn't know who the plays for the Celtics now. And even I know the starting lineup is...
Larry Bird.
And Bob Cousy. Bob Cousy is apparently ripping
Sandy
up
Koufax.
The boards.
Sandy Koufax.
Oh, boy. All right. So, anyway. And, by the way, the first, well, now it would technically be the second interracial three-way teabagging demonstration.
Wow.
But with Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and I, it took on a new twist.
Oh, wow.
Was Alan Grayson involved?
Well, when Aisha Tyler starts improvising, it's all bets are off. I believe she was dangling a microphone in my face. And
wow.
the whole thing. I'm guessing if that got on YouTube, it's going to get any more hits than the last one.
Dangling a microphone in your face while pegging John?
Yes. Wow. Yes. Well, she was doing something to John, and yeah, and then he was teabagging me. And then
I think
suddenly,
that's called...
Suddenly the microphone came down like I was a...
Bonk.
A slutty minor. Just the, yeah. I was like, what is that? Oh.
I think that's called anteatering.
Oh.
Wow.
See, this is why we had to demonstrate it, because a lot of people, elderly shut-ins like me, and I always say at every show, I don't know what anything is until Chris shows me
that's
on the
right.
interwebs.
Oh, that kind of salad. Oh!
Ooh, that's not the type I eat.
Oh,
okay.
Sanchez isn't a guy. Oh!
Wow!
Okay.
Teabagging has nothing to do with tea. Okay.
Where's the hot water?
Oh.
None needed.
Oh,
I see. Okay. That's quite different then.
Well, then. My goodness. Yeah, here's how you know Boston's a sports crazy town. We did. I was talking about the story we did last week.
Mm-hmm.
The guy in Massachusetts, the one in the emergency, he was suing an emergency room.
Right.
Because he said that nobody helped him with his disabling erection because they were watching baseball.
Yes.
Wow, that's a big boner. Shh, Red Sox. That's not going to last more than 4 hours. You'll be fine.
Green Monster.
We're in the seventh inning stretch. Don't worry. Ay vey. All right, so lots to talk about. Obviously, we were in Mitten's backyard.
Yes.
Mitten's, of course, jumped all over the president's. It's like, you know what? And Mitten's would have taken him out of context, even if he had said in the exact same sentence, compared to the public sector, mm-hmm. the private sector is doing
sure.
fine. That was his point.
Yes.
And Mitten's knows that.
Yes.
And he obviously said, I held the press conference because I know the economy is not fine. But he made a very good point, backed up by the hard numbers.
Absolutely.
Our unemployment rate would be a full point lower if the public sector was keeping up. And Mittens, I think, made a bigger gaffe by going, American people don't want more teachers and firefighters and cops.
Those aren't real
Oh, really?
Jobs.
If your house is burning or you're getting, someone just broke in, you probably.
The American people want me to get richer.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, that's what I don't, this is new to me. When do people start hating cops and firefighters and teachers?
They're not the American people. I mean, he was
yeah.
they're not
the distinction
taxpayers.
Between them and,
yeah.
and
yeah.
taxpayers. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, anyway, so that whole thing, it was just, and I love...
By the American people, he needs people like him.
I don't know about you, but I like having firefighters there
yeah.
just in case my house burns down.
Yeah.
That's
I like
job.
I like them, because they're
that's
hot. True. I just like, they're hot. Okay.
And many of them are Republican.
Yes.
But they're not Americans, according to Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
I grew up
but
in a firefighter household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ken and Barbie, your parents.
Yes.
No kidding.
No kidding.
They're actually named Ken and Barbie.
Spray so much.
Fireman Ken. Yeah.
It'd be sad if it were Klaus and Barbie. That'd be a whole...
that
See,
would
that's
be
why
bad.
They raised such an anal retentive, spastic little child that threw the... What is it? The
Lincoln
log,
Logs.
The Lincoln Logs.
And Tinker Toys, too, if I couldn't get...
If you didn't get it perfect.
If I didn't get it to look like it was
on
the
box. You did what?
I kind of threw him against the wall.
But he can bench press a fire truck. So...
There's that.
There's that. Yeah.
So that happened.
That.
Those
to be a fly on the wall
on.
In the Lavoie household when Ken and Barbie were discussing their high-strung little tot. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Ken. Oh, Barbie. Skipper's just not turning out like we hoped. Why doesn't he seem to like Midge?
Doesn't seem to want to stay in the beach house. I don't understand.
All right, I'm cracking myself up because I'm still
drunk.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
I'm assuming you drank some scotch with Aisha.
No,
that's her thing.
Should have
no.
Irish whiskey in Boston.
Yeah, yeah. It was no, just all green beer.
Okay.
What was I saying? I was making a point. Oh, my favorite part of that whole kerfuffle is that Mitt Romney. Actually got to call, said President Obama's out of touch.
Yeah.
Hard to be as in touch as Mitt, you know.
Right.
Having to make those tough choices in life. Can I afford another dressage horse or another car elevator? Lovey, what do you think? All right, so, and we were, once again, of course, in Mitt's backyard, and they know what a crappy his record was.
Right.
Like, it's like when he keeps talking about the unemployment went down, it's like that's because everyone self-deported.
Yeah.
You were 47th in job creation. I mean, it's incredible. All right.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the Senator Fold, Scott Brown, he is a...
Senator.
Yeah. He used to be a hand model. I don't know if you know that.
Yes.
Oh. Fabulous.
Yeah. Which I was saying, I thought it might be... Practice for all the...
And a leather shorts model.
Did he wear the pink leather shorts while he was handballing?
What are the chances of Barney Frank and Scott Brown? Scott Brown would be the one that was photographed in pink leather.
Yeah.
Hot pants. Just saying. Yeah, but he was, I didn't realize that he started as an actual, like, a hand model,
mm-hmm.
which I said was practice for all the jobs he was going to give the banks to water down financial reform. That was a dirty joke and a smart joke.
That's
which
right.
They get in Boston. They get smart and dirty at the same time.
Be careful. Don't get banned in Boston for stuff like that.
Yes. No.
No.
No. Yeah, no, it was actually, I have to say, it was an amazing weekend to be in Boston for Gay Pride, where, you know, the President of the United States has just come out for marriage equality. You know, Barney Frank, when do we think a sitting congressman would announce that he's going to marry his boyfriend?
Yeah.
I mean, and Gay Pride weekend, in the first in the nation for marriage equality, right. Massachusetts, it was just awesome. And by the way, I was reading on the plane, we have to get him back on, Zach Walls.
Yes.
Who so makes me go from gay to questioning, wrote a book, My Two Moms.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working, he's an Eagle Scout, and he's working from the inside to overturn the ban on, you know, gay
right.
scouts and leaders
right.
in the Boy Scouts. And so he's awesome. I'm just saying, organization that already has men wearing scarves and they call
sure.
each other Weeblos. I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
how far could it be
wow.
away?
That's.
It does not seem like they're that far from being able to overturn that. My point is, anyway, it was just, oh, and Aisha Tyler, we had two things in common last week. We both got to see the president in person. However, she being of a higher, you know, grade celebrity than I
yeah.
am, she got to actually talk to him in person.
On the talk?
No, it was a meeting. It was only like 20 of them. Like
wow.
Obama campaign surrogates. And so she had like about, I was like, I got to see the president this week. She goes, oh, here it is, so did I. And she had like 25 pictures of her talking to the president privately. I was
you got a picture of her with her tongue in his ear.
Yeah. Did you show him your pictures?
By
blurry,
the way,
blurry, blurry.
Here's
yeah, here's mine.
If that gives you an idea
here's
how
mine, the
sad
rope
my
line.
Life is compared to Aisha. It's just like, I got a blurry picture, but there's green pashmina on it, and but I got half his face.
It's a picture of the rope line and the bouncer telling you you can't
yeah.
come in.
Step
yeah,
away.
But she was saying it doesn't matter who you are. She just was like trying to be cool. They're all in the room.
Yeah.
And then she just literally walks in. She's like, POTUS, 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 POTUS. POTUS is in the room. And by the way, in heels, the same height. So I was like, oh, my God, it's the same.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway,
she's
yeah.
tall.
Yeah, she's and awesome.
Yeah, she is.
All right. As is John Fugelsang, it was a great show. Thank you, Boston. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. So much to get to. Let's continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Can't you see I'm burning alive? Can't you see my lady? Got another lover. I don't know how I'm gonna survive.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
And that was before anyone knew the gender of baby.
Yes.
Having another
that
lover.
That was when she was using mm-hmm. non-gender specific
uh-huh.
pronouns.
24
nicely
minutes.
Done.
Yes. Well played.
Done. Well played, ma'am. Official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Bob in Connecticut drove all the way to the Boston show. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Stephanie.
How are ya?
I'm doing okay. I'm a recovering Republican.
Oh,
I'm doing
yay. Got by. Got by.
What can I say? My wife converted me.
Yay.
A
power of sex. The power of withholding sex, more
yes.
importantly.
So, yeah, I wanted to share with you, I thought it was a great show.
Thank you.
And remember the part where Aisha Tyler is talking about waking up the next morning drunk?
Yes.
When I was doing that, John Fugelsang was my building manager.
No
wow.
way. What?
What?
Huh? Where?
He was my building manager at NYU.
Oh,
oh
wow.
my God. That's
he was
like
the RA or something?
Wow, 1 degree of sexy liberal separation.
He was actually the building manager, the
oh.
person above all the RAs.
He was Schneider?
Wow.
He was Schneider?
Exactly.
Wow.
Oh, that
and
is awesome.
And we thought he was the most boring, dry, no personality type person there was.
Oh, that's not
that's
possible.
That's not John now.
He made up
no,
for it.
No, definitely not now.
He has gone ape dump. All right,
yeah.
Bob, thanks for driving.
But I have a quick question.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now that Cheney has gotten it a heart. Which Republican's going to get a brain?
No! Bob, look at... Bam! Used to be a Republican. See, I'm telling you, you get funnier when you turn liberal. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely.
And it works in reverse. Dennis Moore.
Brad Stein.
We were a little, Aisha was a little startled because he must be coming to the Wilbur where we just played and there was a thing up for him. She's like, what? Are we here on the wrong?
Wow.
Oh, dear.
I'm like, yeah, I can't get enough Nancy Pelosi plastic surgery jokes. Can you?
That's
fill-in joke here.
That's so fresh.
Okay, there it is.
That's pretty much it.
All right. So it was. It was awesome to be. It was awesome to be in Massachusetts, where Mitt Romney, as you recall, liked the mandate more than Marcus Bachmann.
That's right.
I'm still in. And as we've said many times, it was more. It was going to be more pro-choice, more gay right, pro-gay rights than Ted Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And I mean this. I thought this story in the paper over the weekend was a perfect example of how far right he and all the Republicans have moved. So here he is actively pro-choice when he was governor of Massachusetts. Now he's the morning after pill. He keeps calling it the abortion bill.
Yeah.
And wants to ban it. Did you read this? The new latest science is out about the morning after pill. It just delays ovulation so that, the sperm can't fertilize the egg, so there's no embryo.
No abortion in any way, shape,
or
form.
What, you're going off the sperm's intent? Like, I saw you were looking at that egg, and so that's abortion, buddy.
So you're
picturing that egg over the jukebox or whatever that is.
Well, that's exactly why Arizona passed that law saying that, baby be conceived, and so you can't.
Yeah, but that's how anti-choice and anti-science they are.
You could conceivably have conceived a baby.
That sperm was picturing
that
egg bent over a pool table. And listen, that's enough, mister. That's abortion-like.
Pinball machine, actually.
Embryon-ish. Even though there's not one yet,
there is the potential idea for the possibility of thinking about maybe.
Right.
So, therefore, I got nothing.
Okay. all right. But the best comedy news, did you hear, is that it looks like Bobby Jindal's getting vetted for VP.
Yeah.
Oh, please, God. Let there be the first exorcism in the Rose Garden. As you know, he exorcised the demons from his girlfriend.
We replaced Bobby Jindal with Kenneth LePage.
Yeah. And that's not allegedly. He admitted it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How awesome.
That's
hello.
Great.
I'm Mrs. Bobby Jindal. And your father sucks.
Magic
and then Bobby
underpants.
Comes in and exorcism.
The power of Christ compels you.
Her head spinning around.
The power of the magic underwear compels you.
I'm Mrs. Jindal. La, 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 la. And then he has to come in and, oh, come on.
Wow.
Right?
The mind reels of possibilities.
Maybe at a state dinner, she goes and pees on the carpet. Just standing there. What are you doing?
It's the Joseph Smith exorcist ticket. That's
that would be awesome.
Oh,
it'd be so awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of which, he went off on the president with some.
Oh yeah.
Which
sure.
You can tell why he must be on the short list because he's talking nonsense.
Volcano
all right.
Volcano monitoring. That's crazy.
29. Yeah, that's another reason I know God's a Democrat. That's just crazy. What's that behind me? Is that green screen or is that Mount St. Helens? What's happening? All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Benadryl and fall asleep while pleasuring
Stephanie Miller.
Because you can die that way.
Oh, that would be a good way to go.
Boy, howdy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Got Eric Bollett coming up at the top of the hour to co-host Right Wing World, but it's Monday, everybody.
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning.
You did something very curious in our modern world. You actually went to a real thing with real people, enjoyed yourself, and didn't blog at all. You were at the Bonnaroo Festival?
I just got back late last night from the Bonnaroo Music Festival.
How dare you, sir? If it's not blogged about, it didn't happen.
No, I guess that's true. That's true. But nobody wants to hear about, all the shrooms and porta potties and things like that.
Right.
I do. What happened? What'd you do? How was it?
It was amazing. I saw incredible music, saw great comedians, saw but an absolutely amazing film called the movie Beasts of the Southern Wild. There's a cinema tent there, and they play all kinds of new stuff.
Wow.
It was the Sundance Award-winning movie, and just me and two other grown men were sitting there at the end sobbing.
Aw. Not since E.T. have we seen such a spectacle.
That's right. And you know, up front, right near the stage for the Roots, just dancing crazy and high-fiving people I didn't know, fist-bumping unironically.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, here's what you missed. Mitt Romney's still a rich douche nozzle.
Okay, good.
So,
I hope he would go bankrupt and be living on the street by now, but I'm sorry, it didn't happen.
Well, this is election season. This is what we're going to get, right? Is all just one gotcha moment after another. I mean, he knew very well, as everybody did, the president wouldn't have had a press conference about the economy if he thought the economy was doing fine. I mean, and, you know, we've already looked at how Mitt Romney would have taken him out of context even if he had said in the same sentence, right, compared to the public sector, the private sector is doing fine. You remember, he was quoting McCain, they used it in an ad. He said, if we talk about the economy, we're dead. He said, as John McCain said, they took that part out and just put it in a Mitt Romney ad. So,
well, if we took away the way in which Obama has shrunk government, the size of government in during his administration, how many thousands of jobs is that have been eliminated? I mean, isn't that the accomplishment that Mitt Romney wants?
Right. But that's the thing, is I think he made a bigger gaffe, I think, by saying what he really means. Apparently he thinks people hate cops and firefighters and teachers.
Isn't that amazing? I did see that Romney said he says we need more firemen, more policemen, more teachers. Did he not get the message of Wisconsin?
Right.
What the hell? I mean, how in the world? When did we go to war on teachers? I don't get the war on teachers. I don't get the war on firefighters and police officers. Which, by the way, somebody should call him out on his sexist language of firemen and policemen.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
Hello, Mr. 1950s.
Yeah, exactly.
And milkmen.
And also, I love how we talked about the American people don't blah, 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 whatever, as if they weren't American people.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I don't normally give homework. That's Randy's job. But you have to read L.A. Times. We should post this Saturday, okay. L.A. Times, by Ronald Brownstein, Scott Walker's Unvictory. But that's exactly true, isn't it, Rude? When you, however many ways you want to spin Wisconsin, it is not a victory to have to spend how many millions of dollars to keep your job after a year.
No, you're right. I mean, I wrote last week that it was a failure, but that doesn't mean it was some blanket success for Republicans. All it was that the people of Wisconsin just said, you know what, we don't want to do this. You know, we want to have an election, and to me, again, that was the fault of messaging in the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the part of Brownstein's piece is that you know, the recall may have been an overreaction. You know, a lot of, again, most people, I guess, feel like it should be criminal wrongdoing. It should be the only, you know, otherwise we speak at the ballot box every 4 years. Again, wait for it. We may get to that, the criminal part with Scott Walker. But I think that he raises really good points that, you know, the way he did this is what caused this. You know what I mean? Like, first of all, as we've said over and over again, you know, he did not have to do this. The unions had already signaled they were willing to make concessions. This is not what this was about. He did it in such an unbalanced way. That's what caused the reaction, don't you think?
Well, sure. That's the Republican slash and burn style. What was it? Jeb Bush said this weekend that not only could Ronald Reagan not get elected by this Republican Party, but that his father wouldn't get elected and possibly even his brother wouldn't get elected, that's sort of a net good.
George H.W. Bush was, Maureen Dowd interviewed him, and he spoke glowingly about both Bill Clinton and President Obama.
But then Jeb Bush comes around and says, but you know, it's really the fault of President Obama. And essentially he drove Republicans to go that right wing because of his trying to jam through liberal policies during the first year in his office. And we on the left are sitting there and going, what?
That's why you have to read this piece, Rude, because that's what I'm telling you, is the way Governor Walker has governed is the exact opposite of President Obama. Anybody with a brain knows that he has as you say, reached out almost too much to the chagrin of our side to the other side. And this is the opposite of what, but I mean, he says in this piece, victory in an unnecessary battle isn't really a victory at all. I mean, he really governed in this scorched earth way. And you're right, Obama has done the opposite.
Right. Obama, I mean, the accommodationist Obama that we saw for the first, easily for the first 3 years of his presidency has caused a lot of us to not question supporting him in an election, but caused us to question a lot of the things that we believed about him coming in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he makes an analogy with Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy, also elected in 2010, closed a deficit as large as Wisconsin's with, you know, $1 billion in spending reductions, $1.5 billion in tax increases, and $1.6 billion in union concessions. And that's governing, right? I mean, whatever side of the aisle you're on, when they were saying that this is how they got the concessions from labor, because they had shared sacrifice, whereas Walker was so nakedly partisan and only targeting his Democratic constituencies, right? You know, unions, even divided among unions who he was going to punish, right?
Right, and then you know, we have Romney going even further in his disdain for unions with Mitch Daniels yesterday saying that that public sector unions should just be wiped out.
Nice.
You know, the final solution for public sector unions. There, I went Nazi.
Oh, there you went. There it is. The first one of the week. First Nazi
go.
Reference.
There you
okay.
go. There you
All
go.
Right.
That somebody can quote me saying, I say that eliminating public sector unions is the equivalent of the Holocaust, which it's not, but...
Did you get that? Newsbusters?
Newsbusters got that? Okay, good.
But well, it should be pointed out that the first thing Hitler did when he came to power was to arrest all the labor leaders.
And there's the second Nazi analogy of the
There we go. There we go. By the way, wouldn't Mitch Daniels be the lamest Nazi ever, though, would he? Mitch Daniels in jack boots would just... I don't even think he'd know how to walk.
He would hardly even get back into his little tree where he makes cookies. Now, the other thing, you know, the other interesting article I thought over the weekend was that demographics, as we all know, are really favoring President Obama, which is why systematically they're trying to suppress the vote for each of those, you know, those demographics where the president is wildly ahead, whether it's young people, Latinos, the African American community. Right, here we go again.
Yeah. Well, because they have to come up with a strategy, and obviously a messaging strategy that Obama is not good for their communities isn't working. So what's the next step? The next step is just make them stay home.
Well, I got to tell you, though.
Or force them to stay home.
Here is a silver lining story. You know, you bring the black clouds, I bring the silver linings. 30 elected Florida Republicans stop Rick Scott's voter purge is the headline. Wednesday, of course, he announced he's going to defy the Department of Justice and push forward with his purge of thousands of registered voters. But all of Florida's county election supervisors, who are ultimately responsible for maintaining the voter rolls, refused to execute the purge. Florida's 67 local election supervisors include 30 Republicans who have said no. One of the Leon County election supervisors said, we're just not going to do this. I've talked to many of the other supervisors, and they agree the list is bad and this is illegal.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. The idea that there's a rational sector of the Republican Party that's actually trying to assert itself, they ought to be eliminated. I mean,
I guess
we're going to have to find a way to purge all of the moderates from the Republican Party even more.
Right, but I mean, they even know the American people are not going to tolerate a second stolen election in Florida. I mean, this is so egregious. In fact, in the wake of the voter purge, Rick Scott's approval rating has just dropped to 31%. 56% disapproval. He's dropped off among Republicans as well. So,
wow.
You know, which they're saying is reflecting the bipartisan opposition to what he, you know, I think, thank God, Ruth, the American people still have some basic sense of fairness.
Gee, can't they recall him? Maybe.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know,
he's already a convict. He already pulled off the biggest Medicare scam in history, and they still voted in him.
Right,
him in.
Right. I just, his Skeletor face must be just cringing at this.
I don't think he has enough facial fat to make an expression, but I'm sure the bones moved in an uncomfortable way.
Eyes do that creepy, you know, open wide behind the skull, sockets move back and forth.
Stop! You're scaring the children! All right. Ruth Pundit, great to talk to you, honey, and I'm glad you had real people experiences in it.
I did. I touched real people.
Wow.
I rubbed up against their sweaty bodies in concerts.
Wow. I got to try that more often.
Now it's time for you to recover for a week and drink plenty of water.
Thank you very much.
All right. TheRudePundit.blogspot.com. Thank you, honey. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
There he goes. All right.
Lots of water and possibly antibiotics.
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on what you... picked up at Monaroo. I don't know. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yes, that's right. It is the
Rock,
Stephanie Miller
paper,
Show.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Freak.
Freak. What?
Freak.
Oh, okay.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Fernando in California. Hello, Fernando.
Hey, how are you? Rude Pundit took my gas away from me.
Oh.
He mentioned Mitch Daniels yesterday on Fox, and it was kind of sad because here's my twist. They are railing against public employees.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that 85 to 90% of public employees are veterans. What does Fox News have against veterans?
Yes. Why do they hate the troops so much? Good point, Fernando. Do you, does anyone ever say your name without singing the ABBA song?
Say.
Thank you.
They could have named you Waterloo,
you.
I suppose.
Yeah, it could have been worse. It could have been Waterloo.
You know what? Thursday's my birthday. If Jim Ward could sing me Fernando, I would love it.
Oh boy. I don't have the lyrics in front of me.
Oh boy.
If only I spoke Swedish.
There was something in the air tonight, Fernando.
Go ahead, you sing it.
My parents played me. No, I cannot sing it. Are you kidding? I am so shy. I can't even believe I'm calling.
We don't have that
one. My parents had to buy two 45s because they wore out the first one. Yes.
So they did name you after an ABBA song. That is very
sad. No, I'm older than ABBA song.
You're what?
I'm about your age. I was born before ABBA came out with the song.
Okay. All right. All right, Fernando.
Thank you. Love the show, you
all
guys.
Right.
Keep up the good work.
Love
Bye.
You, too. Could have been worse, because also your name is Waterloo, and you'd be last in class. You'd always be the last person called. Waterloo? Waterloo? Okay.
Well, I try to get the lyrics, but instead I get offers to send the song to my phone or something.
Oh, there we go.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. There we go. All right. No Fernando? Only?
I have Fernando. Sure.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, that's Waterloo. That was a worst-case scenario. Here it is. Wow. Andy had to hear it. They wore out the 45.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's
Yikes.
Emotional scarring there.
I suppose it could be worse if you'd shorten it to Fern.
You're an old lady name.
Yeah.
See? It's almost as bad as Gladys. All right. That's too long an intro, for God's sakes. All right.
Hear the drums, Fernando?
So we were just having a discussion.
I remember long ago a starry night like this in the firelight, Fernando. Yeah, sure, you betcha.
They didn't have a Swedish accent in the songs. What are you saying? All right. We were talking about papers. Mama likes her papers. You can see here.
Oh, yeah.
I
you
get
can't
the
really,
actual paper.
You can't really highlight your computer when there's...
No.
Yes, you can. Absolutely, you can. Just hover over it with your...
Oh, that's true. You can.
Yeah, that's too much technically for me.
That's easier than uncapping
a... Look at the pictures I took of President
print
Obama.
Print it and then highlight.
Yeah.
No, whatever.
Okay. But anyway, why?
Why?
Why? Proving once again what? Mama's always right. Because this amazing article by Ronald Brownstein in the L.A. Times,
mm-hmm.
not available online.
Nope, not at all.
No, see? So I have the paper. I have it right here. And this should be why I think this is a conspiracy that is not available, because this is a great now I'll have to read it to you. See, this is a service I provide, because those unreliable interwebs, this is just gone. It's been vanished into the cornfield. It's been disappeared. He makes the greatest points, though. It's called Scott Walker's Unvictory. See? That's also highlighted.
I see that.
Mm-hmm. In Wisconsin, Republican Governor Scott Walker this week won a war of choice. Thank you! But this victory doesn't erase the question of whether he needed to wage the war at all, or whether this kind of scorched-earth political combat offers the best model for resolving the comparable challenges awaiting the next president, as some now insist. That's everybody's trying to take what's the message from Wisconsin. Brownstein goes on to say he responded with a conspicuously confrontational solution that ignited nearly 2 years of unprecedented and unstinting partisan conflict. The fact that Walker's opponents responded with an excess of their own, including arguably the recall election, or that he's left standing, at least until 2014, shouldn't be confused with proof that he was wise to initiate these hostilities. Victory in an unnecessary battle isn't really a victory at all. Ask the generals at Verdun.
Verdun.
Please explain, Jim.
It was... it's kind of stalemate, as I recall.
Yes.
I think the greatest losses of
any babble
something.
One anyway.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Victory,
let's
see.
It was a cluster bleep.
Yes, a cluster. Thank you, Jim. Okay. Historically speak, he's the official historian of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Someone needs to be. Because I'm not.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah.
Walker, more than anyone else, pointed the state toward this abyss by responding to a budget crisis with a sharply ideological plan that targeted its pain almost entirely at Democratic constituencies. Thank you. He closed the deficit solely with spending cuts, particularly in local aid to education, reduced rather than raised taxes despite the shortfall, and reached far beyond the immediate challenge by severely curtailing collective bargaining rights for public employees. Predictably, his agenda passed without support from a single Democrat in either chamber of the state legislature. Wisconsin's fiscal problem when Walker took office was an economic downturn, not an unsustainable spending spree that demanded an uncompromising reversal in direction. And then he had some facts that I didn't even know. Under his Democratic predecessor, the state had fallen from 5th to 14th among the states in tax burden. So their taxes were not unreasonably high in the first place, he's saying. In 2009, state tax collections were the smallest share of state income since the 1960s. Mm. And also another analysis placed the state's 26th in public spending as a share of state income. So they weren't a big spending high-taxing state in the
right.
first place. That inheritance could have allowed Walker to pursue a package that equitably shared sacrifice. Thank you. That's what the president always talks about. Shared sacrifice. Anyway, instead, he refused to balance the cuts for union members and the sharp reduction state to local school boards with higher tax contributions from the affluent or corporations. That's what this whole thing was about. Then he threw gasoline on the fire by deciding not to negotiate givebacks directly with the public employee unions, which they had signaled they would already accept. They'd already said yes. But it signaled he would instead strip them of their collective bargaining altogether. Since then, and then they just talk about, which we know, we've been there twice, what the climate is that he's created. It is just tumultuous protests, occupations in the Capitol, astronomically expensive recalls. Walker apparently, we're talking about it, really was a stalemate because it flipped control to the Democrats in the legislature. This, I think he makes a great point. This is not a preferred outcome, really. And they talked about a new poll said that one-third of Wisconsin adults said that they have stopped talking politics with someone because of their disagreements over Walker. He's just talking about how to make your state completely toxic politically. This was not a victory, anyway. Other governors facing comparable strains have shown this is not the only choice. And that I talked about with Rube in Connecticut. He talks about how if you're asking everyone to give equally, here's what happens. His spokesman said it was a balanced approach, and that made it easier to do that big ask of labor. It was a big ask, but it was also a big ask of taxpayers and people who depend on the social safety net.
Mm-hmm.
And people are more willing if it's a shared sacrifice, is his point. Anyway, he ends by saying, by demanding contributions from all segments of society, Malloy closed an equally daunting deficit without remotely as much turmoil. It's a contrast the next president should remember. There you go. Not Mitt Romney, though. Not if it's Mitt Romney, he's thrilled about Walker. Thinks that's exactly the way to govern, right?
By the way, the Battle of Verdun resulted in 698,000 battlefield deaths. Slightly more for the French than for the Germans. It was considered a tactical victory for the French, kind of, but they actually lost more people.
Thank you, Jim Ward. Thank you. See?
Although,
I think my grandfather might have been there.
For a general public newspaper, that might be a little bit of an esoteric reference.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Verdun.
For example.
I see. I knew only Jim would have any idea what that reference meant.
You know, my grandfather also fought at the Battle of Belleau Wood, which was one of the aircraft carriers Janice's father served on during World War II.
Wow.
Your lovely wife,
after,
Janice.
Named Geneva. After the same battle that my grandfather fought in.
World War I. Oh, my God. What are the chances?
Huh?
Oh, my God. It was meant to
be. Weird, huh?
Oh, my God. You complete me. You had me at hello. My grandfather fought
and
the same.
Her dad has the same birthday as me.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Year, obviously.
Oh, my God. Okay. See, for him, it worked out. I've said that before. Like, oh, this happened, so it must mean that.
Simpatico.
No, it was a red flag.
It wasn't simpatico, it was a red flag.
No, it was a red flag. I was supposed to go the other way.
Which was a good thing in the Soviet Union for a while, but
Eric Bollard next to co-host Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I'm feeling good. Hey, all right now. Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. The website. SexyLiberal.com. Thank you, Boston. SexyLiberal on Facebook. There's some pictures up. I think there's already pictures. Alan Grayson joined us on panel. What a night. Oh, what a night. All right. More importantly, Tanya, her mom is a teacher in Baltimore. She says I'm doing my highlighting wrong. Tanya, what are you talking about?
Okay, good morning.
Good morning. Yes.
So I am officially the super nerd daughter of a New York City school teacher of the Stephanie Miller Show.
And by the way, I do think we need more teachers. Go ahead.
And we noticed that, you know, when you were reading your highlighted newspaper passage, you totally highlighted the entire article.
Okay, well, it was a really good article.
But it's not the proper way to highlight. You're only supposed to highlight the pertinent points that you want to share, not
listen,
the entire article.
Miss Anal. Well, I'll highlight the way I want, and you tell you. Your bossy mother. I'm not happy with
you. You highlight the
whole article. Why highlight it in the first place if you're going to read the whole thing?
I did much better
that's
on how
my,
racist are
my,
we.
Thank you, Chris. That was my point.
Yes.
I said, you know, why? Okay, if she wanted to read the entire thing, why didn't you just say, I'm going to read an article
all
to
right,
you?
All right, Tanya. Some people are very persnickety this morning, and I apologize for over-highlighting. But it's important. All right, thank you, Tanya.
Every single word is just as important.
It just seems a little inefficient. You could have saved the time of highlighting by just saying, okay,
it was really good.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have read the whole thing.
It's all good. It's all good. I'm going to read it all. That's how I know to read it all.
I wouldn't have read as much if it was available online, right. And then I could have just told people to go read it because it's not.
But it's not available online.
My old-fashioned newspaper and my stained fingers came in handy this morning, didn't they?
Hey, the old-timey paper strikes again. I say, old whippersnappers, you can't get this on the interweb tube thingy.
I realized this weekend that there's not a single apartment in my apartment complex that takes the paper anymore.
I realized this weekend that I'm not getting the paper anymore. I got to make sure I'm not still paying for it. But
yeah,
just,
there you go.
Oh, yes, that 25 cents a day is probably breaking you.
When was the last time you saw your newspaper bill? It hasn't been 25 cents a day in a long time.
Oh, whatever.
It's like a dollar a day now.
I like my paper.
Okay. I'm sorry you couldn't get your paper.
Old people don't like to change their habits.
Our buggy was broken.
So I have to read all the latest mittens ads.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mike, Rocky Mountain Mike.
You work so hard for mandates and for help for all the needy, but now that you're a candidate, you change your mind real speedy. Edgy, sketchy, flop, flop, flip, flip. Oh, waffling myth he is, flop, flop. Flip, flip. Oh, waffling myth he is.
Headache or upset stomach from constant waffling? Take Etch-A-Seltzer.
Flop, flop, flip, flip. Oh, what a bitch
stiff
he is.
Etch-A-Seltzer. You'll never look at anything the same again.
Hey! Rocky Mountain Mike. That's funny because it's true.
Yep. I hope Rocky Mountain Mike isn't affected by the fires. I'm watching Colorado just, you know.
Yeah, because I don't want to slow down the bits.
Right. I mean, that's the important part.
That's the important part. Let's get to our favorite Monday guy. Here he is. Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
Good morning, Eric Bowler.
Good morning.
You know, you have to tweet more on weekends when I'm on five-hour flights both ways.
Yeah.
Because I can't get enough of your tweets. You write, really, Mitt, that's the message from Wisconsin that voters despise teachers and firefighters? Sounds more like the Bain message.
Yep.
Thank you.
And then good point.
And then you say, God bless Romney for expressing so clearly the utter contempt right-wing has for working-class teachers, firefighters, etc.
Yeah, and as Media Matters has pointed out, that his comment didn't get a ton of attention on Friday, did it? I mean, this was sort of the classic Beltway, this is how we cover campaigns, we're going to take Obama's fine, you know, comment from the press conference, pretend he wasn't talking about job growth, he was just talking about the economy.
Right.
I mean, some of those reporters, let's face it, I mean, some of the people in the media were pushing that item before Republicans even had a chance to push it.
Yeah.
They really see that as their job, is sort of spying these gaps and what are Republicans going to go after. And, yes, it makes it much more easier when you take it out of context. And then a couple hours later, Romney responds with this, you know, he wants more firefighters and cops and teachers. you know, traditionally when someone's running for the President of the United States and they suggest that America doesn't need cops or firefighters or teachers or sort of holds them in contempt, that's kind of news.
Yeah.
But on Friday it wasn't.
No, I know. Well, I mean, and so much for the, you know, the media's in the bag
for
Obama.
The liberal media. Yeah.
I love how we're saying the American people don't like these greedy cops, teachers, and firefighters as if they weren't American people.
Yeah, taxpayers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and that's, well, you know, we've talked about this, Eric, but the argument that makes me crazy about, you know, Wisconsin and elsewhere, where they keep talking about the taxpayers versus the unions. People in unions are taxpayers. And, you know,
Mitt Romney's the only one paying taxes.
And the thing that kills me is these pensions, Eric. That's their money. They earned it. That was part of the deal we made with them. We're like, here, will you take less in salary, but we're going to give you this in pension. And then we go back on the deal, meaning Walker, and they're greedy, right?
Yeah, right. The deals are broken. The unions are greedy. If union members didn't have to pay taxes, there'd be a lot more union households in this country.
Right, yeah.
I mean, this idea that, you know, they're not doing both is kind of crazy. But also, you know, the right-wing media was clearly trying to play down the extraordinary sums of money, national money, that were just poured into Wisconsin. I'm not saying that's the only reason Walker won, but the idea that it was this grassroots Tea Party standing up to the man movement, let's not pretend, let's not kid ourselves. These were billionaires all over the country who are writing massive checks, and that's what the Republican Party has come to these days.
Yep. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing today. Laura Ingraham in for O'Reilly. Mm-hmm.
There's a big game of pretend going on here, folks. He pretends that both he and the economy are working, and he hopes that voters don't catch on before November. Now, I don't know what's worse, his pretending that the economy is working when it's not, or pretending that he's working when he's not.
Yeah, here's the real story here from Daily Coast. The private sector is doing fine. U.S. corporations are holding a record $1.74 trillion in liquid assets, according to the Federal Reserve's quarterly flow of funds report released on Thursday.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
They're hoarding cash, and they're choosing not to invest
in it. Right, exactly. And if Fortune 500 companies broke all their profit records last year, up 16% in 1 year. But look, as Obama said later, because this became a deal, you know, the economy obviously is not fine, and 60,000 new jobs a month is not fine as far as he's concerned. But he, in that comment, he was clearly talking about job growth between the public sector versus the private sector.
Right. Right.
All of that just gets sort of flushed down the memory hole, and it's a lot easier to pretend he was saying the economy's fine. And of course, that's what Fox News is going to do. The depressing part is a pretty good chunk of the Beltway Press did that on Friday and over the weekend as well.
Hmm. Yeah, well, because they don't want to get called liberal. But I mean, it really.
It's a funner story.
Yeah. I mean, since when do we start rooting for cops and firefighters and teachers to lose their jobs? And number two, the point the president made is absolutely backed up by economists. The unemployment point would be a full point lower.
What do they know about the economy?
If the public sector were keeping up with the private, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen the charts probably over the weekend. I mean, the government, the number of government jobs have disappeared in the last 5 years, approximately. I mean, it's huge. And look, and that's what a lot of liberal economists were arguing, saying we can't just get rid of these government jobs. They are a crucial part of this economy. But, you know, the Republicans and I think the right wing really won that debate. And so all these government jobs were being slashed, while at the same time the Obama administration was being charged with, you know, keeping too many people on the government payroll. And they got rid of all these jobs. And now it's affecting the unemployment in the economy, and everyone knew it would. So it's this sort of weird catch-22. He's getting blamed for having this bloated government when, in fact, the Obama administration has taken drastic steps to cut it, and now he's getting blamed for cutting it because those jobs are gone.
Yeah. That's some catch, that catch-22.
Yes, there is. All right. Eric Bowling on the five.
Today, when President Obama took to the microphone and started in with the same stuff, private sector's fine, we need more government hiring, I literally sent an email to you guys. I think he just lost the re-election. Right now, on this day, mark your calendar, this is a day President Obama lost
because
he proved to the world he has no answers. He's just waiting this thing out and hoping, you know, come November that unemployment starts to get a little bit better, because that's what's going to save him. Otherwise, if it doesn't, he's toast. He has no ideas.
Wow. Yeah, I guess we can all go home.
Sure.
Hit the lights on your way out.
This is the same Eric Bowling who couldn't decide if gas prices in May were going to be $5 or $6.
Yes.
He's absolutely determined. You know, he's sure Obama just lost. We've talked about this before. If you look at the polling, it's still amazing, even to me, that a majority or plurality of Americans still blame George Bush for the economic situation we're in. So it's sort of this Fox News fantasy that, you know, that Obama is getting blamed and he just lost the election and everyone is blaming him for unemployment, things like that. According to the polls, they're not, but that's the alternate universe that, you know, the conservative press wants to live in, that this game is over and Obama has lost the election based on his one comment at a press conference.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Steve Ducey and Gretchen Carlson, Fox and Friends.
This poll thought that the president of the United States was better on education and foreign policy, terrorism, bringing the United States together, and fighting special interests than Mitt Romney.
I'm stunned by that, bringing the U.S. together.
I don't know what that
means.
Because,
you know, the whole campaign of President Obama 4 years ago was hope and change and bringing everyone together, and a lot of people were looking forward to that.
Mm.
But a lot of people also believe that that hasn't been what's happened in the last 3.5 years. So I'm stunned that
you're
he's
stunned
still
by
on
error.
Top.
Gretchen Carlson. That should be on the Chiron. Stunned by air.
Yeah. Stunned by the sun coming up.
Fox and Friends has spent every weekday morning for the last 4 years making sure that America cannot come together.
Right.
Or trying to stop anyone from doing it. And now she's stunned.
Well, her point is, despite the extraordinary help from the Republicans, it's amazing. I don't know
how
the president
shocked to find this gambling going on.
All right. Eric Buller remains in the sidecar. We continue more Right Wing World after this. 18 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Speaking of on the left, what was I doing during a commercial break? I was talking about how handsome and romantic Alan Grayson is.
Yeah.
He did Sexy Liver with us Saturday night in Boston, and I got to hang out. And, so handsome. He has a haircut. Okay. Speaking of cuteness on the left, he's back. Eric Bollert from Media Matters to continue Right Wing World. Bill Kristol, who, Eric, as we've said, there should be a Chiron saying he's always been wrong about everything ever.
Yeah.
Just for, you know, by way of warning. Here he is.
I would like to see who Bill Clinton is really going to vote for in this election.
Oh,
I think Bill Clinton will vote for Mitt Romney.
You do?
He deeply, he probably thinks Romney would be a better president because Clinton, at the end of the day, is a grown-up who did have a reasonably good economic record and knows that Barack Obama is clueless about the economy. President Clinton is justly proud of the fact that he took the Democratic Party to the center. He rescued the Democratic Party from its failures in preceding decades, the Dukakis-Mondale Party, and Obama has taken it back there.
What? Wrong about everything.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yes, Eric, your thoughts.
Obama's not a leftist by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm sure Crystal has great sources inside the Clinton camp, right?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about concern trolling. But the larger issue was this Clinton, you know, there's something about the Beltway Press and Bill Clinton, and they are just, decades later, I mean, it's been almost 15 years, they still go bonkers when he's on the scene. I mean, the idea that Bill Clinton's two comments last week that weren't completely on message with the White House, we're going to sway the election, and voters in Sacramento and Dallas were, you know, sitting by the radio listening for the next Bill Clinton comment. I mean, give me a break. This is such Beltway nonsense.
And they've always hated Clinton, and now they love him. Now they're using him as a club against Obama.
Right now, he's the wise old man who could see all the faults of the Democratic Party that he led for doing the exact same thing that Obama is trying to do, led that party for 10 years. Painful.
All right. Rush Limbaugh.
He's a thin, wiry, can't even throw a baseball looking like a guy. President.
Throws like
a girl. There's not a whole lot of masculinity there.
Oh, God.
In appearance. Plus, he's a liberal Democrat. That means he's a dove. Liberal Democrat, progressive, socialist, whatever, means that in his mind, the U.S. military is the focus of evil in the modern world.
Oh, Wow. So Rush Limbaugh, yeah, first of all, is commenting on someone's athleticism.
Yeah.
Wow. And figure. Okay.
I would like to see a punt, passing, kick challenge between Barack Obama and Rush Limbaugh, and I'll put $100 on who's going to win.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. What do you say on a one-on-one match on the basketball court?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Nothing but net.
Boy, this is the play they always run. Just right. Not manly? Is that what he even basically came out and said? He throws like a girl. He's not
throws
manly.
Throws like a girl, right. I mean, and Limbaugh on the same day, I mean, obviously he had the whole Sandra Fluke fiasco. But, I mean, no one mixes creepy, sexist language with American politics the way Rush Limbaugh. I mean, we've talked about it before. I mean, he is obsessed with certain parts of the anatomy that he won't stop talking about and thinks it has to do with a political discussion. It's crazy. It's creepy, and he's got major issues.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Oh, speaking of which, Ann Coulter on Red Eye.
I don't think it's a good image. Not with the economy the way it is now. And he's hanging out with these bimbos in Hollywood. And that he's wasting time. And now he not only has to shore up his vote in Wisconsin,
right,
but he's worried about Hollywood bimbos?
Is he talking about me? I was at the Obama fundraiser in Hollywood last week.
Right.
I beg your pardon.
Coulter is a Hollywood bimbo.
Talk about an evergreen, you know, Democrats in Hollywood, right? Yeah. I mean, this is lost Democrats. How many elections? Zero. But the funny part is Republicans, who do they have? They have Mitt Romney. They have to hang out with people like,
Charlie Daniels.
Ted
Nugent.
I mean, it's so sad when they try to even buddy up to any sort of D-list star. And then they complain when the actual ones are more Democratic.
Yeah, they're just mad because we have all the cool kids. Yeah. We have better celebrities than you do.
And they have Jeanine Turner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Chuck Norris.
Eric Bowler from Media Matters. Always a pleasure, sir. See you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there he goes.
Yeah, I really do think Ann Coulter hangs out more here in Los Angeles than she does,
of course she does,
wherever she...
Because that's where the cool kids are.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
I want to see Limbaugh in a 50-yard dash race against Obama. Let's see how manly he looks there.
Yeah, and he can even throw a baseball pitch around his man boob.
Yeah.
Just drop on the pitcher's mound next to his man boob. Hi, Ricky in St. Paul. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's the first time calling into a talk show, but it's refreshing to see a true liberal show that's truly liberal.
Thank you.
So, I was calling in and wanted to talk about, I think a lot of the things about the election is overanalyzed, and I feel that a lot of people, they're going to vote for who they're going to vote for, and most of us already know who we're going to vote for. And so I don't really believe that a lot of the people who call themselves moderates or whatever are as moderate as they say they are, because I consider myself to be moderate, but I have a lot of conservative thoughts and ideals. I'm almost 60 years old.
All right. We will continue after the break. 29 minutes after the hour of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
A bunch of booze-drenched hill people just sitting around in your underwear and fornicating in the stairwell.
Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah.
Ooh, Boston was fun. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12.
The Wilbur Theater stairwell will never be the same.
Yikes. Okay. Mark in Newington. Am I saying that right?
Newington?
What?
Newington, Connecticut. There you go. I was at Sexy Liberal in Boston. Steph, my wife and I thoroughly enjoyed the Sexy Liberal show at the Wilbur Theater in Boston. I was laughing so hard my cheeks still hurt. A lot of reports of that.
Yeah.
In addition to the great show, I had the pleasure of sitting with Congressman Alan Grayson and Nicole Sandler. Awesome. He did get a standing ovation again for walking and sitting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When he just walked in.
Now, if your cheeks hurt, that's something different. That's not from laughing. That's probably different. Aisha Tyler was probably behind you. Mm-hmm.
The high point was meeting you guys in person. Aisha is beautiful, and I can understand why women go all goo-goo over John. But meeting you and having you put your arm around me for the photo was the best part.
Aww.
The only problem is I have the feelings you induce make me wonder if I'm actually a lesbian trapped in a man's body.
That's it.
Yes. I'm sorry, Mark. You are a lesbian. All right. Janice in Houston, Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello. Hi, Janice.
Morning, Stephanie.
Morning.
How are you?
Morning. Welcome.
I want to say, why have we allowed the
GOP to come in. They're a gang of thugs. This gang, they're a gang of thugs. They remind me of the Taliban.
The
American Taliban, Stephanie.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's going on. I think her phone was tapped, so I had to get off quickly. I think the trace was about to kick in.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I know the religious right is, they have co-opted this party to an extent that's just, all right. Look, it's my second article highlighted from the actual paper in the New York Times.
This one we were able to post up on your Facebook page, though.
And I did not over-highlight.
Only every other
one. What's the problem with the TV show? People can see. They're like, oh, you over-highlighted that.
Oh, we got a tweet about that.
Yes.
Let's see. Amy says, as a special ed teacher, I say we need to be affirming Steph for using highlighting as a learning accommodation.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Amy.
But if you highlight every single line
the
of every paragraph.
The article is that good in the LA Times. Ronald Brownstein did Walker's on victory. Okay. My old timiness came in handy because you can't get it online, you see? All right. This one, this was disturbing, I got to say. Speaking of the interwebs.
Yep.
How racist are we? Ask Google. I don't know if anyone else saw this in the New York Times yesterday, in Sunday's New York Times. He makes some interesting points. Barack Obama obviously won. And so, you know, a lot of us went, oh, see, there's no more racism. It's what he's talking about. Many nationally concluded that prejudice was not a major factor in modern times. My research, a comparison of Americans' Google searches and their voting patterns found otherwise. If my results are correct, racial animus cost Mr. Obama many more votes than we may have realized.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about there was a lot of headwinds going for him last time. But Mr. Obama, blah, blah, blah. Few people admit bias in surveys. I think that, you know, he makes a point there. So I use a new tool, Google Insights, which tells researchers how often words are searched in different parts of the United States. Google aggregating information from billions of searches has an uncanny ability to reveal meaningly social patterns. I think I need my fun facts music for this, because these are fun facts that I did not know. So the conditions under which people use Google online, most likely alone, not participating in an official survey, are ideal for capturing what they're really thinking and feeling. A little bit disturbing, this article. Many Americans use Google to find racially charged material. I performed the somewhat unpleasant task of ranking states and media markets in the U.S. based on the proportion of their Google searches that included the word N-word. The N-word. A huge proportion of the searches I looked at were for jokes about African Americans. I wanted to measure not directly. He did data 2004 to 7. He said, I wanted a measure not directly induced by feelings toward Mr. Obama. From 2008 forward, Obama is the prevalent term in racially charged searches.
Yeah.
One. Okay. The state with the highest racially charged search rate in the country? Anybody?
Alabama?
No. Good guess, though. No. West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Mountain Mama.
Other areas with high percentages included Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Ohio, Upstate New York, and Southern Mississippi. Who could have seen that one coming?
Yeah.
Once I figure out which parts of the country had the highest racially charged search rates, I would test whether Mr. Obama underperformed in these areas. And he did. Well, anyway, but I mean, that's why how he was able to correlate. Add up the totals throughout the country, and racial animus cost Mr. Obama 3 to 5 percentage points. Is what he is. Interesting stuff. I mean, who knows? If my findings are correct, he writes, race could very well prove decisive against Mr. Obama in 2012. We sort of have all this anecdotal evidence of racism, obviously, and, but most modern presidential elections are close. Losing even 2 percentage points lowers the probability of candidates winning the popular vote by a third, and prejudice could cost Mr. Obama crucial states like Ohio, Florida, even Pennsylvania. I mentioned earlier the rate of racially charged searches in West Virginia. Check this out. Was number one in the country, and that's the state showed a very strong aversion to Mr. Obama in 2008. It recently held its Democratic presidential primary, in which Mr. Obama was challenged by a convicted felon.
Yep.
The felon, who is white, won 41% of the vote.
Can they spell aversion in West Virginia?
No.
Oh, stop it.
No.
Yeah, Google is interesting. Have you noticed that if you go to Google's webpage and you type in, like, Stephanie Miller, the most popular first three searches come up? Do you want to know what they are?
No.
Stephanie Miller Ustream.
Okay.
Stephanie Miller Current TV.
Uh-huh.
Stephanie Miller Girlfriend.
Oh, no! Let me save you the trouble. There's a big blank there. big whole lot of nothing. There's just pictures of, wait a minute, there's pictures of tumbleweeds and barroom doors. And
yeah.
Just, wah, wah, wah.
Should I check Jim Ward?
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
Short guy.
Well, it's nothing bad. It's Jim Ward blog, Jim Ward voice actor, Jim Ward IMDb.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Great.
That was.
No. And I'm in the regular chair now, so I'm not the short guy anymore on TV.
All right. Here's another fun fact I found. Guess what is a word searched more than weather?
What?
Porn.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Really?
The internet is for porn. That's why.
See, so when we're having a slow day on the phones, Chris, instead of saying, is it raining where you are, we should say, are you whacking off where you are? Please call now. Dave in Wisconsin.
Are you typing with one hand?
Are you calling me with one hand? You remember when I did the night show? We used to get guys
that
called. Could you just keep talking to me for a couple more seconds? Oh, no.
A little more.
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Hello, Dave in Wisconsin.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I guess for the first time, I was flipping around channels and caught your show. And as I was tuning in, I just noticed some of the comments you were making about the recall election that we all went through here in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And it's still a split in the state because of that whole process we went through. My sister is a teacher in the public school system in Green Bay, and we're still not talking because of it. I'm a registered Democrat, and I, among many other Democrats, crossed over and actually voted for Walker because we didn't agree with the whole recall process. It wasn't because we believed in his fiscal reform policies altogether, but the recall effort was a waste. It cost the taxpayers $125 million.
Dave, that's why I was reading that article. I thought it was so important because I agreed with a lot of the points in it. And obviously, polling showed that a lot of people felt like you did. That may have been an overreaction, but I still blame Walker for this whole thing. I blame the way he governed. It was so unnecessary, and I don't really think it's a victory, do you? He survived recall after millions of dollars, and but the legislature flipped, and so now I'm sure there's going to be more gridlock, right?
I don't think it was totally his fault. I think a lot of it was the disgruntled voters from 2 years ago. They didn't get the way the initial outcome of the election occurred, so we brought in all the outside union forces and the money that was spent to go through this whole process. It was a waste of time and a huge taxpayer expense.
Well, Dave, the huge bulk of the money came from outside corporations and people like the Koch brothers, not from the unions. You know, he was outspent, 7-1?
Well, that's true. That's true. But it was only, I think, in defense of what the unions were putting the whole state through. That's what started the whole thing, them taking over the
Capitol. Dave, I got to say, I disagree. The unions didn't start this. Scott Walker did. The unions said that they were willing to compromise on what he asked for. He didn't want that. He wanted to strip them of collective bargaining rights, which is not what he ran on. And that's why there was obviously an uproar on the other side.
When you say strip bargaining rights, he wanted them to pay more towards their
They had already agreed to that. They had already agreed to that. That's the problem, is that, that's why this was not viewed as fair. He didn't ask for shared sacrifice from, he asked nothing of rich people and of corporations. He asked for, he clearly politically targeted his political opponents.
Well, it's still a riff in Wisconsin, and my main...
Dave, let me ask you something. Why
was when you made comments about how now it was all awash because the Democrats now control the legislature? That's not true. There's one Senate seat that is still in jeopardy. They're going through a complete recount in Racine County.
Right, but it looks like it's going.
That isn't going to matter anyway because the whole legislature is in summer session, and there's another election coming up in November where 16 seats are up for re-election again.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens with that. I mean, like you say.
As you put it, was the whole thing was a wash, and $125 million later, nothing was resolved.
Yeah, how are you going to feel if he gets indicted?
That's a whole different issue. That still has to be exactly what the outcome is.
It's not looking good, though.
I don't think I would vote for him again if that does come to fruition.
Yeah. All right, Dave. Thank you. Great call.
You're welcome.
To talk to you. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Bye bye.
Yeah. Whenever someone stumbles across the show, it usually doesn't end.
No, that ended better for me than it usually does.
Yeah.
better for me than most relationships do. All right, 45. You seen it was just a truce. That was it.
Yeah.
All right, 45 minutes. That was a wash. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, that woman's about as subtle as a rhinoceros horn up the backside.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
There's a shock.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by Solar World. Solar World has been making solar panels right here in America since 1975. Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar. All right. So the hubbub was all over this last week.
We've created 4.3 million jobs over the last 27 months.
Check.
Over 800,000 just this year alone. The private sector is doing fine.
Oy vey.
Which,
oy
vey. In fact, it is, as I said before. Right. U.S. corporations are holding
record
a record $1.74 trillion in liquid assets.
Yep.
But they're holding on to it. They're hoarding the cash instead of investing it in companies that might actually hire people.
Yes, the job creators are awfully tight-fisted, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
President Obama clarified an earlier assessment of the health of the private sector, explaining it's absolutely clear the economy is not doing fine. He said, that's why I had a press conference. Duh! Romney said the comment showed Obama was out of touch.
No, it proves you're a moron. But
thank you.
Again, if they were actually investing these assets they're sitting on in companies that actually hire people, the economy would be doing fine.
Yeah, exactly.
But
well, that's
it.
I mean, it would be, as I've said many times this morning, as economists say, a point lower.
Right.
If the public sector were keeping up with the private sector. Since when is it bad to, I mean, who wants their kids to have like 50 kids in the class? I mean, since when is it bad to have more teachers to have, and boy, if your house is on fire, you're getting, or someone broke in, you're sure you could use a cop or a fireman. Or a fire person, pardon me.
Firefighter.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And police officer.
Yeah, we were saying Mr. 1950s clip art. Mitt Romney showed how out of touch he was by calling them firemen and policemen and milkmen.
I don't think there are ever any milk chicks.
No. The president's initial remarks were intended to portray the relative weakness in public sector hiring and outgrowth of spending cuts on the federal, state, and local level versus the private sector. I think it was clear to anybody listening that's what he meant.
My goodness gracious, there are police skirts? I had no idea.
Police dames?
Fire dames?
Fire dames.
He said, you know, I'm interested in hearing from Congress and Mr. Romney and what steps they're willing to take right now that are going to make an actual difference. So far, all we've heard are additional tax cuts to the folks who are doing fine as opposed to taking steps that would actually help deal with the weakness in the economy and promote the kind of economic growth we'd all like to see.
Yeah.
It's election season. It's going to be gotcha. But I think that's a bigger gaffe that Romney made in terms of saying, you know, what did he say? David Axelrod. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, Romney.
Instead, he wants to add more to government. He wants another stimulus. He wants to hire more government workers.
Yes.
He says we need more firemen, more policemen, more teachers.
Yeah.
Did he not get the message of Wisconsin? The American people did. It's time for us to cut back on government and help the American people.
Once again, teachers, firemen, and policemen are the American people.
Right.
You moron.
Yeah, David Axelrod said Mitt Romney's living on a different planet when it comes to the economy.
Kolob.
He's living on Kolob.
Yes.
Ironic, because he's not allowed to drink Kolob.
He said, I think the American people are smarter than that. What was most interesting is how he reacted to the spirit of the thing, because his statement was, we don't need any more teachers.
Uh-huh.
We don't need any more firefighters or
we don't need no stinking badges.
By the way, I think they skipped the headline and the most important thing the president said.
Mm-hmm.
We have created 4.3 million new jobs in 27 months.
That's a feat. So, what's your point?
Over 800,000 just this year alone.
Shut
we
up.
Lost 800,000 jobs in the first month he took office under George Bush. I mean, do the numbers. The president. Yes.
The economy is not doing fine. There are too many people out of work. The housing market is still weak and too many homes underwater. And that's precisely why I asked Congress to start taking some steps that can make a difference.
Yeah. And then he talked about layoffs and Congress.
Congress should pass a bill putting them back to work right now, giving help to the states so that those layoffs are not occurring.
Okay. Steve in Virginia on this very subject. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Love your show. Watch it every day.
Thank you.
I wanted to make three quick points on issues that were discussed earlier this morning. First was the Republican attack on firefighters and police. And I remember when Bill Clinton implemented the More Cops on the Streets initiative, Republican mayors and state representatives had no problem taking credit for the reduction in declining crime rates.
Yep.
Also, reduction in firefighter, EMS, and police personnel increases their response time to emergencies.
Yep.
Second, regarding school teachers, the attack on school teachers, I campaigned for an assembly representative in Southern Nevada whose main issue was smaller class size to increase the level of quality education. He was able to enact the legislation, and it resulted in an increase of quality of education, and regardless of party, made teachers proud that this effect was real.
Yep.
And finally, regarding the Republican denial of science, I worked many years in chemical research for the EPA and understand the toxic effects of many chemicals on humans. However, the right-wing-backed American Council on Science and Health has repeatedly forwarded the concept that most of the chemicals in food, for instance, pose no health problems upon ingestion. And I just wonder, in the twisted Republican agenda, if this is related to an attempt to reduce the size of the social safety net.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, all great points. I mean, it's, by the way, the other, we talked about this last week, but it really is a dance they're trying to do, this whole, you know, the Kasichs of the world.
Oh, God.
Like, everything's great in Ohio because of me. Economy's, but it's bad everywhere else.
You ever have a governor who's an idiot?
But this is an interesting one. About 10 battleground states will decide the election. 7 of them have employment levels that beat the U.S. average. But can I just say, most of them because of Obama's policies, because of the auto rescue. I mean, this complicates Republican candidate Mitt Romney's claim the economy has been so mismanaged that Obama needs to be ousted. In addition, a chief Romney criticism that Obama's hindering energy production is undermined by robust drilling that's creating jobs and wealthy landowners in two important states, Ohio and Pennsylvania. And again, Jim, that's not a liberal thing. That's fracking, which a lot of liberals are not. We have a lot of concerns about.
Yeah.
So it's... In Ohio, it's practically a must-win for Romney, toss-up state. Kasich tries to finesse the political dilemma by saying jobs have increased despite Obama's policies. And this is the only thing David Gregory stood up to him on, is that he's like, most of the jobs are from the auto rescue, which Romney was against. Yeah, he said, we fight like crazy to outperform the federal government. We're down to 7.4% unemployment. I mean, it's like... What? Former Governor Ted Strickland said, the rescue of the auto industry was the greatest contributor to Ohio's recent economic growth.
Shut up.
When Romney called it an unwarranted payoff to labor unions, Strickland said he showed a lack of understanding of this industry.
Oh, my God.
By the way, as the president said, when he rescued the auto industry, they're also demanding that it's the trickle down. The U.S. auto industry also demanding more steel. So Ohio Democrats, that's another point against Romney. All these steel plants that were doing nothing are working again that's what the president was making the case when Romney was making the case against it. All these other industries are also going to benefit if we save the American auto industry. Anyway, energy and automobile production are the two giants of the industrial section in Ohio. Mm-hmm. So, Romney campaign must also cope with boasts often by Republicans and business leaders that things are better at the local level than another region. Midwest has economy on the right track, said an op-ed in the Columbus Dispatch. The Midwest is not only resurgent, it's leading the national economic recovery.
Because
of the president and the auto rescue. Oh, nice try, Mittens. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What? I'm here. here. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Sorry. Discombobulated.
Startled by your own show.
Woo! I am startled to be here after a sexy liberal weekend in Boston. Speaking of Boston, Jim, I did a guess the quote with the entire audience to close the show. It was, if by liberal, if they mean someone who looks ahead and not behind, someone who welcomes new ideas without rigid reactions, someone who cares about the welfare of the people, new ideas with... their health, their housing, their schools, their jobs, their civil rights, and their civil liberties. Someone who believes we can break through the stalemate and suspicions that grip us in our policies abroad. If that's what they mean by a liberal, then I'm proud to say I'm a liberal. Who said that?
Ich bin ein Berliner. I am a jelly donut.
Okay, that was John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Richard Nixon.
Great son of Massachusetts. All right, where are my rock star cheers? Alan Grayson, Congressman Alan Grayson, surprised us and did panel with us and once again got a standing ovation for walking and sitting. He just walked into the theater.
Did he get the guest quote right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay,
yes.
Good.
The whole audience yelled.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a really smart audience.
Yeah, it's long misinterpreted that Kennedy mispronounced the word Berliner. He actually did pretty well considering he had no talent for languages, unlike Jackie, who did. It was using the article, Ein Berliner, which is not necessary. If you say you're from somewhere in Germany, it's...
Ich bin Berliner?
Yeah. Obviously, you're not seven Berliners. So,
right.
But a Berliner is also a jelly donut, basically. Yeah. So by saying, ich bin ein Berliner...
Kind of like, I'm Danish doesn't mean you're...
I'm a Danish.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh. I'm a cheese-filled...
confection of some sort.
He brings all the smart language and history.
Ich bin ein Mohnkuchen.
And I bring the fart jokes. All right.
I am a bear claw.
But you know what I found out about Boston?
What?
They can take a joke that's both dirty and smart at the same time. Like their senator fold. Scott Brown started as a hand model, as I mentioned.
Senator.
Yeah, because I said that was practice for all the jobs he was going to give the big banks to water down financial reform. Whoa, ladies and gentlemen. Carbon. Okay. All right. A good time was had by all. Current TV film. We had a jib. We filmed it for the documentary.
Let people know what a jib is.
It's the giant camera.
Arm. It's an arm that carries a camera.
Yeah. It sweeps over the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're
talking that TV terminology.
Okay.
I like the cut of your jib.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
No. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were there for history. It's going to be in the documentary on Sexy Liberal that will air on the Current Network. Thank you, everybody. Okay, that's right, and up next, oh my God, people are, L.A. bitches be crazy.
Mm.
These tickets are almost gone for the end of July.
This is a special call out to all you L.A. progressives out there. A short distance dedication. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming back to Hollywood, California.
Holy Hollywood.
L.A., show me love up in the club.
On Saturday, July 28th, the world-famous Pantages Theater will host our generation's greatest comedy trio with John Fugelsang, Al Sparks, and featuring radio and television star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are currently available online at Ticketmaster.com, at the Pantages Theater box office, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the evening's proceeds will be donated to the Trevor Project. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, July 28th at the Pantages Theater. The countdown to the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour's Los Angeles return starts now.
To see John Flocal's song at the Pantages.
Oh, stop it. Someone mispronounced.
John was doing a TV thing. Somebody mispronunciated.
Yeah.
Which is normally my job. All right. Speaking of sexy liberals, Victoria. Because a lot of pictures up at Sexy Liberal Facebook.
Yep.
There's one of all of us from behind. I don't know. On panel, me and Aisha and John and Alan Grayson, I saw up on Sexy Liberal Facebook. Everybody's still talking about the unfortunate Pashmina incident. In which I was photographed with Cher last week at the Obama fundraiser wearing a wrinkled green pashmina.
Yeah.
Victoria writes, Miss Miller, like you, I'm almost 60. Biatch. I am not almost 60. So I don't know how to edit photographs on the machine, but that's what my mom calls the computer.
Yeah, the machine.
Ilf machine.
La máquina.
But I'm sure that many of your talented sexy liberal audience members know how to work the Photoshop and could do something with that unfortunate Pashmina in the otherwise lovely photo of you and Charo. Remember when you were there were pictures all over the interwebs of various people wearing Aretha Franklin's inauguration hat?
That's right.
Well, the same sort of thing could be done with your photo. Just black out that green schmata or Photoshop Dolly Parton's body under your head. Whatever. Just spitballing here. Well, someone did make it black, the pashmina.
Yeah. And now it looks like a giant floating head.
Green pashmina. I want it painted
it's
black.
It's Cher and the giant floating head.
Yeah. That's what it is.
All right. Yeah, it didn't make it any better. It was just an unfortunate incident all around. Wow. Really? You're going to wear that for this? Woo! Click away. All right, love letters from Republicans. It's a new feature.
Okay.
Wow, this is very exciting. The Republican who loves my show. There it is.
Right.
Jeff writes, Steph, since I found you on AM 1480 in Phoenix, hello. I'm becoming an everyday listener to your show. I find you and the crew quite amusing.
Oh.
I disagree with 90% of the crap you talk about, but it's entertaining.
Thank you.
Take it.
Okay.
2 + 2 = 4. Boom!
It's entertaining crap. Keep up the good work, and hopefully you'll have a Republican president in Congress to kick around for the next 4 years, which will probably kick up the funnies yet another notch. No Obama 12. Jeff, who...
Well, actually, George W. Bush did provide a lot of fodder for us.
Please, it's not worth it. I mean, well, okay. Maybe if there is a Vice President Bobby Jindal, which was the breaking news, because apparently they're vetting him, which, please, comedy gods. Because we might have the first ever exorcism in the Rose Garden, which would be
awesome.
He exorcised a girlfriend's demons in college.
And that's not allegedly. He admitted it in an article.
So, you know, presumably at a state dinner or something, we could have a Mrs. Jindal, you know. Hi, I'm the Vice President's wife.
I'm the mother's sausage.
And then there'd be an exorcism. It'd be awesome.
What if he tried to, like, exorcise demons out of Angela Merkel? Or that would just cause an international incident.
I know.
Oof.
Right?
We can't.
At a state dinner, her head will be spinning around. She'll be spitting pea soup. Not since, you know, George H.W. threw up on somebody. There's been such comedy potential in a state dinner.
Oof.
She might just stand there peeing on the carpet. Honey, come sit down. You know, I'm just saying. All right, I guess I have a photographic memory for every scene in The Exorcist.
I guess you do. I think I've seen it once.
Although, props to sexy liberal John Fugelsang for the Omen reference on last week's show.
Yeah.
With Ron Paul and Rand Paul. It's all for you, Rand! And then he hangs himself out a window. That was so random. All right. Oh, another love letter from a Republican. Hey, sexy. Just a quick note from a loyal listener who you'd characterize as a conservative Republican. Tell you, I finally connected you with your father in your interview with Mark Shriver last week.
Aw.
My dad ran for vice president with Barry Goldwater. Your show is very entertaining and makes me smile / laugh, even though I rarely agree with any of your political views. Scott in Minneapolis, who also enjoys the entertaining crap, shall we say.
I hope Bobby Jindal tries to exercise Marcus Bachman. And Ethel Merman will emerge. And no one will know the difference.
June is busting out of love.
They'll get up out of the hospital bed.
Yeah. You'll be swell. You'll be great. Gonna have the whole world on a plate.
You just like a scene from Airplane.
Oh, boy. Okay. Look, Drunk Stack. Why do smart kids grow up to be heavier drinkers? Because we're smart enough to know what's going on in the world.
Right.
If you're smart enough to know what's going on, you gotta numb that.
Weren't you valedictorian?
Salutatorian, all because of Donna Biter. Not that I care.
I hit a nerve. I'm sorry. Wow.
Not that I hang on to things from the past. Why? She beat me by like a tenth of a point.
Is she one of the girls you had drinks with in Buffalo?
No.
Oh,
okay. No, I've had a lifelong bitterness about her.
Oh.
All right. A pair of new studies suggests a correlation between intelligence and a thirst for alcohol. The more intelligent children in both studies grew up to drink more alcohol more frequently and in greater quantities than less intelligent children, according to the author of one of the studies.
Because they have to deaden the pain constantly.
Sure. Greg at Food and Wine blog writes, smart people, quote, booze so we can tolerate everyone else. When sober, we tend to take people's responses at literal face value. But after a few drinks, we can relax a bit, stop being so anal with semantics, and let comments slide a little bit. Yeah, when you have to read as many hate letters as I do and take right-wing callers like Billy in Texas, you drink too. Like that guy last week that wrote to rub slat in my wounds.
Yeah, slat. And we fixated on that.
Over the Walker win in Wisconsin.
We didn't let that little bit of semantics slide.
Fortunately, bad spelling and grammar and a little booze is what helps me get through those hate letters. Remember that one? You liberals, I got some. You took a licking and you can rub slat in your wounds. And by the way, you can lick this. Ooh, good one. Good one. Ouch.
That hurt.
That's going to sting. Even without slat.
You can kiss my butte.
What?
What? That's no
Are you from Montana? What?
Yeah.
All right. See, this is why I do not get invited to give commencement speeches. Because I'm so bitter.
Yeah.
Gawker brings us this story. Downer commencement speaker. You're not special. You are not exceptional. A teacher at Wellesley High School in Massachusetts gave what may be the most depressing commencement speech ever, reminding graduating seniors they're not nearly as special as they think they are.
Debbie Downer.
Wow.
He said, contrary to what your soccer trophy suggests, your glowing seventh grade report card, despite every assurance of a certain corpulent purple dinosaur, that nice Mr. Rogers and your batty Aunt Sylvia, no matter how often your maternal caped crusader has swooped in to save you, you're nothing special.
Wow.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely played. Yeah, somebody in the audience at Boston asked for, career advice for their kid or something. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Listen, all I know is every time in my career.
Get a time machine. Go back to when there were careers.
Whatever. There's no more room in radio. Slam.
Yeah.
my advice is good luck.
Did you see, I think it was Forbes or something, did a survey about the worst jobs in the world, and number 10 was broadcaster.
Yeah. Well, don't I know it. Yeah, no, I said, listen, in my career I've learned one thing, and that is when God shuts a door somewhere else, he shuts a window, too, and I'm screwed. Good night, everybody! But at least I'm not this woman. Oh, I just... What's more entertaining than stories from Walmart? Nothing. Woman detained for shoplifting from Walmart cooks meth in the holding room. Making meth, eating some food, making some meth. Well, they put her in the... She was
in the Walmart holding room?
Yes. Yes.
They have a holding room at Walmart?
Yeah. Well, you remember the story. They caught somebody making meth in the aisle.
Yeah.
For like 4 hours at Walmart, which means that it must be really hard to get service at Walmart if they don't notice someone making meth. For like. A South St. Louis County Walmart was evacuated after a woman detained for shoplifting was making meth in the loss prevention office.
Huh.
While she was detained, she had a 20-ounce soda bottle in her purse that was cooking meth while she was in the holding room, because meth is known to
explode.
Yes, the store was immediately evacuated, and a hazmat team had to clean up the holding room. That is just a spectacular story. Because she didn't have an iPhone or anything. You know what? I think I'll just make meth while I'm waiting.
Sure.
I didn't.
Nothing
got
else
some time to kill.
Yep. Okay. Not since the meth lab blew up in the guy's pants. I'm not sure if that was at Walmart, but probably.
You must have been on meth to think that having a meth lab in your pants is a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, at least steam didn't come up through your urinal and burn your junk.
Yeah.
Like it did in Arby's in Colorado.
Jeez. Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we do know where the beef is. Well, that's not that one.
That's
singed.
Wrong.
Wrong. That's wrong.
Yeah, Wendy's the 80s, actually.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour. I think it's best I take a break now. Yeah. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is all very strange.
I agree. Something's not right.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, boy, this current TV show, it's like Russian roulette. You never know when the cameras are on.
Mm-hmm.
Did they just miss that?
They just missed it.
You were talking about the right-wing 14-year-old host?
A 14-year-old talk show host in West Virginia. We played the audio last week.
Yes.
He was saying that there were 31 known homosexuals in his county in high school or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's back, and he says that the homosexuals are trying to shut him down, and then he compared himself to Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck.
And I said, oh, please, grow some hair on your...
Yeah.
And then... shut up until then. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Sheila in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, I'm the official portable pole of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello, thank
and
you.
And I'd like to ask you for a title change. I'm Polish, and my birthday is the 1st of May. I would prefer to be the official Maypole of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ah, there you go. See what you did.
Hey!
Now, sec- secondly, I was at the show in Boston. I drove up to Boston for the show Saturday night.
Oh my God.
And let me say that between you and John and Aisha, there was so much gorgeousness on the stage. The three of you were so beautiful that if Hal had been there, I think the building would have exploded.
You know what would win? A sexy liberal meth lab. That's what that would have happened. Yeah.
It was fabulous.
Thank
you. Wonderful. Well worth the drive.
And how about that Alan Grayson for a bonus on panel? What about that?
Oh, my God. What a great guy. He was wonderful, and he's so funny.
I know.
Very funny.
And I got actually a special. After the show, we went out for drinks, and I just fell asleep on his big cuddly arm. And it was pure bliss.
And Carl Frisch, I had my picture taken with Carl Frisch, and he gave me his business card because he liked the picture. I'm going to email him.
Oh,
very cool.
Carl Frisch opened up the show for us. It was an awesome, sexy liberal night. Sheila, thanks for making the drive.
Sure.
All right, there she goes.
Hooray!
Yay! Hooray, Carl Frisch. Yay!
Kermit Flail.
Yay! Okay, thanks. All right, proving that our 14-year-olds are better than theirs.
Uh-huh.
There's, 14-year-olds from
Tel Aviv.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dear.
With their homophobic thoughts. Brandon from Michigan is 14. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I understand everything you're saying. I'm a liberal, and I agree with everything you're saying.
Everything?
Wait, this is, you aren't Brandon. You're not the dump truck kid, right?
No. That's Brandon.
Nope.
No, different.
Oh, well, that's
Brandon.
Different. Okay, well, Brandon, thanks.
I agree with everything.
Do you have any adult supervision of any kind?
Yep, my grandpa and grandma watch your show every day, and I just started watching it, and now I agree with you, and I'm going to watch.
Oh, wow. Yay, join us. I have indoctrinated you. Thank you, Brandon. You're the smartest boy in class.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
There's some far-right homeschoolers.
Grandma and grandpa are just too old to care about, what the kids are doing.
Yeah, there's some far-right homeschoolers who would say that you're abusing the child. So, there's that.
Join us. Everybody's had a news bluster just exploded. All right. Mike in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. I'd like to give a little bit of a different perspective for Dave, who called in about Wisconsin. I'm assuming, Dave, you had a chance to hear the fake phone call with the Colts. I'm assuming that you had a chance also to see him with the billionaire talking about attacking the unions to divide and conquer. And I'm also assuming that you saw him in Congress admitting that collective bargaining did nothing for the state to balance the budget. And I just want to say to Dave and a lot of the others, you were duped by a weasel.
Yeah.
And once this weasel's in the trap, we'll have our I told you so moment in Wisconsin, but it won't be to rub your noses in it. It'll be to reach out, rebuild Wisconsin, become a beacon for the world. This is the movement.
Oh, yay. Yay for you. What a nice little speech that
duped
was.
Duped by a weasel, the long-awaited sequel to Touched by an Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
He's still pissed off the wrong honey badgers, I'm just telling you. They're going to take what they want in the next election cycle. If he's not already in prison. Yeah, somebody called that the power tool that called from Wisconsin. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
No. What are you going to do with my life story?
Something humiliating.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Not my life story, but the life story of the Sexy Liberal, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Tour, filmed Saturday night at the Wilbur Theater in Boston for a documentary which will air on the current television network. Hopefully.
Do we know about when?
In the fall.
Okay.
I think before the election.
Very
cool. Susan in Boston writes, Steph, we were at the Wilbur. It was pretty cool that Current was filming, but just wondering, once they edit out inappropriate for TV, won't they end up with a minute and a half long?
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much. The Current executive did say, that was dirty. Okay.
Oh.
Be left with and the if.
Yeah.
And maybe.
Oh, dear. Guess they should have done a little, I don't know, sent some scouts out beforehand, a little pre-planning, a little, all right.
Yeah. Whatever.
Anyway, good time was had by all. I'm sure we got something usable. Let's go to
that. Can you show teabagging on television?
We'll just all be marbled out. We'll just
pixelated?
Pixelated.
Yeah, great.
All right. Jim in West Virginia. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Stephanie. Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask a question here. Remember back in the 60s with Richard Nixon during his campaign, the whole thing that everybody kept screaming was the war on crime, the war on crime. And he was going to put more people, more police out on the streets, and we were going to be protected. Whatever happened to that? Or the thing about this, I mean, how can we as a nation survive by the way they're saying, oh, well, you know, we are going farther and farther in debt and our children are going to pay for it. But then again, we're spending, we're not spending any money on education, and that's our future.
Yeah, you're absolutely
right.
Exactly. When did this start? This is what I said earlier today, Jim. When did this on teachers and cops and firemen start? Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. The Republicans used to be the tough on crime party. It's incredible. In fact, Mitten said, America doesn't need any more firemen, policemen, or teachers.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. And the last 3 years, the worst on record for public job loss. 700,000 government jobs that no longer exist remain a large drag on the American economy. Our unemployment rate would be a full point lower without those layoffs. Here is Mittens on the Friday.
For the President of the United States to stand up and say the private sector is doing fine is going to go down in history. It's an extraordinary miscalculation and misunderstanding by a president who's out of touch. And we're going to take back this country and get America working again.
By what? Hoarding money like the private sector is doing now and not investing in companies that actually create jobs? That's how you're going to do it?
Charlie in Massachusetts, smartest boy in class, he points this out. While the Republicans are running around with their hair on fire over Obama's remark about the private sector, somebody should point out the stock market is making new highs and corporate profits are also setting records. They are doing fine.
And
they
giving each other bonuses.
Thank you. They aren't hiring because there's no demand for their products. Products because the Republicans refused to permit any actions that would increase demand.
Yep.
For example, the two sectors that are in really bad shape are the public sector, teachers, cops, firemen, who've been laid off and are not being rehired because Republicans refuse to provide more state aid in construction, while the Republicans refuse to permit infrastructure spending. Thank you. And I have the flat tire on my bike to prove it. Do you know how many potholes there are near me? Oh. All right, thank God I had a government worker come to my rescue last week, if you heard my story about Gilbert, the L.A. Parks Department employee that had to pick me up. I was in the middle of nowhere, about to have my head severed and then be eaten by a mountain lion.
And
he used to run a crew of 20, and now it's just him in a 4,000-acre park.
Right, I knew he was like the only employee in the park or something.
Yes. And I was the only gay in the village, and there was no rescuing me. I was a little damsel in distress.
Like Burgess Meredith after the nuclear catastrophe.
Yeah. It was so much time.
Yeah, no, Griffith Park has a reputation. I'm sure you weren't the only gay in the village.
Okay. There's other heads besides separate ones?
Yes.
Hey, what did I say?
Speaking of which, have you heard that connection?
No.
You know the Canadian cannibal that Kathleen Madigan was talking about? He may have been responsible for that severed head that was found
head
in
near
Griffith
my
Park.
House?
Wow.
Yes.
So well, it wasn't one of my exes?
No. So there might be the connection.
A connection? It might be connected.
That's right.
Hmm. Okay.
Met your accomplice's head in the wood chipper.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of comedy. Check this out for Mittens.
I think he's defining what it means to be detached and out of touch with the American people.
Oh, wow. Look in the mirror, pal.
Who could be possibly more in touch with the real person in America? All right, Mitch McLiplis.
Well, the president must be on another planet. I mean, you just saw the jobs figures last Friday.
I don't think I heard a word he said, actually. Can we play that again without the...
Okay. Well, the president must be on another planet. I mean, you just saw the jobs figures last Friday.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. We didn't need to. We know what he's going to say.
Yeah.
All right.
And I want to make sure, one term, make sure there's no jobs. See what I did there? I'm tricky that way. Never trust the turtle.
I mentioned in Boston that I don't know how much Cherokee blood Elizabeth Warren has, but I have 25% Irish and 75% Chardonnay. However, the point is, the people there don't care, God bless them. It is not hurting her in the polling, and it is still... As I said earlier, tighter than a cat's ass. And so that's why...
Oh, God, don't use our super secret production.
Our sexy liberal cause money went to fine American Elizabeth Warren. Went to the Warren for Senate campaign. That was our sexy liberal cause in Boston this weekend. Elizabeth Warren said... And actually, she was saying, Scott Brown wants to talk about anything except how he votes. He keeps talking about this stupid Cherokee heritage thing, which nobody cares about. Scott Brown knows that if we talk about the economy, he's in big trouble in Massachusetts. Recent polls show the dust-up has not affected her favorability ratings. The race remains one of the tightest contests in the 2012 cycle. Warren said at Netroots, Romney wants to repeal financial reform, says that people who are concerned about income inequality are envious and claims that corporations are people. She went on to say, no, Mitt, corporations are not people. People have hearts, they have kids, they get jobs, they get sick, they love, they cry, they dance, they live, they die. Learn the difference.
Yep.
Oh, give me my rock star cheers for Elizabeth Warren. Thank you. She said, or not, she said, progressives understand that markets are like football. Every game needs rules, a referee with a whistle to enforce the rules. Without rules or a ref, it isn't football, it's a mugging. Oh,
exactly.
Oh, bam. She jabbed Scott Brown for reportedly shielding banks after voting for a Wall Street overhaul. That has come to light, and it's time for the American people to re-engage on this and say no more.
No mas. No mas.
Yes.
By the way, the current chief of the Cherokee Nation, 132nd Cherokee,
yes,
just like
thank
Elizabeth
you.
Warren.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
Shut the F up.
Yes, thank you. All right. All right. See how I just cued you there to stop playing the music, and it was coming out of my own box.
Yeah. You had music coming out of your box.
Music coming out of your box.
You know what? You
call
know,
Ripley's.
It's a hangover Monday when I don't even know what's coming out of my own box. That is, I apologize.
You have applause coming out of your box?
I do.
Wow.
I learned that in Thailand. If things are particularly good, I know how to applaud. Say okay. Thank you. I'm polite that way.
You are.
And there's that applause again. It's a small audience there within your box.
Look out for the ping pong ball. Okay. speaking of no mas, Latinos saying no mas to Romney. Mitt Romney still stuck in a deep hole with Latino voters, according to a new poll. Obama leads 66% to 23%.
That's a large margin.
No wonder they're making such unprecedented efforts to suppress the Latino vote. I read a story, though, as well in the paper this weekend, that the other thing is, you know, in terms of turnout, Latino turnout is notoriously low, and part of it is because of this fear that gets instilled by Republicans, that they're even legal immigrants are going to, you know, somehow get in trouble. So that's going to be a big battle in this race to get Latino turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Romney, of course, tacked hard right, on immigration during the Republican primary.
You can't tack any righter.
Romney has now picked up his outreach to Latino voters, but without walking back any of his positions from the primary or even discussing immigration at all. Ooh, good strategy.
Yeah.
Probably just by speaking awkward Spanglish.
Yeah.
Hola.
Oh, Pedro.
Donde están los dressage horses?
Los caballos.
Los caballos de dressage.
Dressage caballos.
Dressagio.
I love this. Except for Marco Rubio. That's his only answer. He's been putting out statements on Romney's behalf.
See,
in
we
Spanish,
got a brown one.
In Spanish and English. Mitt Romney will stop the attacks on job creators. Blah, 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 blah. And how about this? He's ratcheting up the rhetoric for Cuban voters. He recently bashed the White House for granting a travel visa to Raul Castro's daughter. Of course, the number one issue for most Americans today.
Sure.
Good job, Mittens. Yeah, you're much more in touch.
Nimrod.
Mm-hmm.
And
can we stop pretending that all Hispanic people are exactly alike?
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
people in Guatemala and Mexico and Cuba.
How funny is this? Alberto Gonzalez says Rubio is unqualified to be vice president.
Oh, God. I never thought I'd hear that name again. What's he been up to?
Julian Seattle writes, I guess it takes an unqualified GOP token Hispanic presidential appointee to spot a GOP token Hispanic totally unqualified possible VP pick. Thanks.
Wow.
Thanks, Torture Czar. Okay.
Great. Alberto Gonzalez. Wow.
Could you please take your organ out for me? Please, God. Vice President Bobby Jindal, for comedy purposes. We've lost all our other good comedy binkies, almost.
We've replaced Bobby Jindal with Kenneth the Page. Let's see if anyone notices.
Oh, he will.
No.
I want him to be the pick just to hear Chris Matthews go.
Oh, God.
Bobby Jindal spoke in Chicago. He said the private sector is so foreign to Obama, he criticized him for staying out of the Wisconsin recall. Which Mitt Romney also stayed out of, declared this president is the most liberal, most incompetent since Jimmy Carter.
There's so much wrong with that. It's almost impossible to diagram.
I know. I understand. Yes. This president, the private sector is so foreign to him, he might need a passport to go visit. Oh, my God, that's funny.
Volcano monitoring. That's crazy.
That's crazy. What's that? What just happened behind me?
Liquid hot magma.
Magma. Yeah. He and he might need a translator to help him talk to folks in the private sector.
Oh, you okay. Idiot.
All right. Okay. All
right. He's not too bright.
Okay.
The private sector is hoarding money. They're sitting on tons of money.
Yep. I know, but we could have exorcism in the Rose Garden if we have Bobby Jindal. Please. 45 minutes after the hour.
International incident.
Magic underwear and exorcisms.
That'll be great.
45 minutes after the hour, right back with Celebrity Stack on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That's a lot of zeros.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yes. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Scott in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, listen, I called in the past about, like, most recently about Fox News and their security guard in downtown Madison and things like that. And I know that I've sounded a little drunk in the past, but I wanted to assure you that before I make the commentary here that I'm sober so far. So,
okay.
I'm
so stipulated.
Very clear here. Okay. You know, a lot of people have...
Could you just blow into the phone for us so I can... You could prove that?
Yeah. Can you hear me any better?
No, just blow into the phone. Okay, never mind.
I'm not going to do that. I can't do that right now.
See, I was trying to see if he was drunk. I was trying to get a breathalyzer.
I know. Well, the problem is I've already had a drink, so...
Yeah, see? You're disqualified now. All right, see? You're disqualified. See? Because I knew if he did blow into the phone, he would be drunk. Because what kind of idiot does that?
We can smell it.
Exactly. I smell it.
We have the technology.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so the latest scandal du jour is... leaks from the about the intelligence. First of all, the writers that wrote it said it didn't come from the White House, number one, the president yesterday.
The notion that my White House would purposely release classified national security information is offensive.
And then he talked about mechanisms in place, the president yesterday.
We have mechanisms in place where if we can root out folks who have leaked, they will suffer consequences. In some cases, it's criminal.
Jim, I don't remember, but didn't somebody in some administration not just leak classified information, but did it for partisan purposes and out of the CIA agent in wartime, which technically would be treason if you were...
But he got... Well, not even pardoned. We've got a... What?
Yes.
Commuted.
Commuted.
Yes,
yeah.
Got a sentence commuted. Scooter
but
did. Scooter Libby, sadly for our jingle writers, did not go to jail. So we were disappointed on a number of levels, weren't we? Or not.
Oh, maybe I don't have it anymore.
Or maybe you don't have it anymore.
Oh.
Okay.
Scooter Libby's going to jail. He will take it in the tail. Scooter Libby had some power. Better hold on to the soap in the shower.
Oh, dear. That was probably best that you lost that. Okay.
Great.
Hey, wow, here's some more good ideas from Mittens. Did you see this? Romney Energy Plan includes drilling virtually in every part of the United States, including no protections for national parks.
Great.
Wow.
Ew.
Yikes. He said he would open up virtually every part of U.S. lands and waters to drilling, regardless of whether they're national parks, national monuments. Or protected in some other way.
So they want to put an oil derrick right next to the Statue of Liberty.
So there's oil, say, behind Lincoln's face?
Yeah.
Yeah, behind Teddy Roosevelt's face. That would be
all right. Roosevelt, they'll drill through. Lincoln, they won't because he was technically...
Oh, no, they will drill another hole in Lincoln's head.
Yep.
Hey! Oh, no! Tragedy plus time, though, equals comedy.
There's been plenty of time.
Sure. Yeah,
Teddy Roosevelt created the national parks.
Yeah.
I mean,
that would just be
so sacrilegious.
That's how partisan they are. They're only drilled through the Democrat president's heads.
No, they were Republicans.
Yeah,
both Teddy Roosevelt and Lincoln were Republicans.
Mm-hmm. God, can you believe I...
What?
Here's some breaking news. Republicans continue to be douches.
Well.
Okay. Republicans in the House yesterday attached an anti-abortion rider to a Homeland Security spending bill.
God,
the
really?
The provision would do nothing to change existing policy. It's unlikely to pass the Senate.
Oh.
It's just seen as sending an election year message to their conservative constituents.
It's a dog whistle. That's all they're doing it for is a dog whistle.
Yeah. What if they do if their nuclear missiles cause spontaneous abortions in people then?
Yeah. By the way, the rider would prevent immigration, ICE, from funding abortions for illegal immigrants in custody. According to an ICE spokesperson, the agency has never paid for abortion services. It's just a completely... I mean, I was talking about this earlier today, the breaking news over the weekend. Mitt Romney, I just came from Massachusetts, he was more pro-choice than Ted Kennedy then, remember?
Yeah.
So now,
right.
He keeps calling the morning after pill the abortion pill. But the new science is, it delays ovulation.
Science, schmiance.
The egg can't be fertilized.
Yeah.
So there's not even an embryo.
What does science have to do with a medical procedure?
That's how anti-science and anti-choice they are. That's like I was saying, what are you judging the sperm's intent? I saw the way he was looking at that egg, and that's close enough to abortion.
Bent over a pinball machine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Very, very tiny pinball machine. Where do you plug it in?
All right. Listen, it's a wonder that we could even continue today. What with the news here in Hollywood that storekeeper Sam Drucker of the Green Acres has died at the age of 96.
No relation to Mort Drucker of Mad Magazine.
No. But that reminded us of, was my failed sitcom that Mike and Rocky Mountain Mike sent us?
Stephanie Miller is the place to be. Charming liberals are the ones for me. Fans spreading out so far and wide. Just give me that box of wine.
No, in right-wing world, I'd rather stay. I get allergic round the gay. I just adore to watch Fox News. Darling, I love you, but give me my narrow view.
White jokes.
White folks.
Wise guys.
Some lies.
You are my wifey.
Rocky Mountain Mike! Oh, no. Are you ready to say again?
What?
Lindsay Lohan got in a car accident.
Again!
Yes.
Have you seen the pictures of her
she
Porsche?
She crashed her Porsche into an 18-wheeler.
Yeah. I mean, there was
she claimed the truck cut her off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of front-end damage.
Notoriously more maneuverable than a Porsche.
What?
Really?
That was, that made up for car talk getting canceled. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, don't drive. I'm so upset about that.
Don't drive like Lindsay.
Yeah. That story does not mesh with events. The truck driver is telling TMZ, oddly enough. The truck driver called TMZ. It looked like Lohan was trying to flee the scene, at which point he saw her assistant fill a pink bag with something.
Interesting.
And top it with clothes.
Huh.
He tried to exchange information with Lohan, who he claims he did not recognize, but the driver intervened, offering to go to a bank and withdraw money.
Oh, really?
Oh, dear.
The driver and Lohan's assistant took me across the street and told me there was some kind of famous person they didn't want to be in the media. I'd already called 911 because they were trying to get away from the scene, but they packed a bag and then the limo driver told me, don't mention the bag to the cops. Oh, dear.
How is it that Lindsay Lohan still has a driver's license?
I'm not certain. All right. Wow, we have celebrity stack we didn't get to that we'll have to get to tomorrow.
Can you tease something?
On the big show. John Travolta made his first appearance. He looked tense.
You got it.
Maybe he should get a massage.
Yeah.
Right. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.